One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Come try new Skyline Dip Cholitos at your neighborhood Skyline today. A warm, soft tortilla filled with their amazing chili and cheese with an extra layer of cream cheese and crunchy Fritos corn chips. At participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You move into a new place. Nothing fancy, just a run-of-the-mill townhouse. You've got your kids, your routines, and sure, maybe the place feels a little drafty. But what doesn't in a low-income apartment, right? Then your toddler starts talking to someone. No big deal. Kids have imaginations. They make up friends all the time. But what happens when that friend isn't imaginary? What happens when your kid starts pointing at things you can't see, speaking to people who aren't there, and, here's the kicker, screams in a way that tells you this isn't just a fun little game anymore? Now think about it. Your kid, shaking, terrified, can't even explain why he's screaming, and the room is perfectly normal. You check him for injuries, nothing. You check the room, nothing. But that fear in his eyes? That's real. So you start doing what any sane parent would do. You talk to the ghost. You yell at it, hoping that somewhere, somehow, that invisible thing lurking in your kid's room gets the message to back off. But does it? And what about the footsteps? The ones that echo upstairs when no one's there? The ones that trace a path around your bed and stop just for a moment at your side? You start sleeping with the TV on because, hey, you're a rational adult, right? There's no such thing as ghosts, except for the fact that something's walking around up there. So what do you do when your own home starts feeling like a horror movie set and you're just waiting for the next scare? And then there's that toy, the one you threw in the closet ages ago. It starts playing music as if on cue just to remind you that this thing, whatever it is, has a sense of humor, too. But you? You're not laughing, not anymore. The question is, who or what was making itself at home in that townhouse? And more importantly, what does it want with your family? Dear Tony, I never thought I'd be writing to you, but after everything that happened, I feel like I need to get this off my chest. It's one of those stories you carry around for years, tucked away, trying to convince yourself it was just your imagination. But then one night you wake up thinking about it and it doesn't seem so far-fetched anymore. It all started when my son Dominic was about 2.5. We had just moved into a low-income townhouse in Ohio. You know the type, nothing fancy, just a simple two-story place with bedrooms upstairs, kitchen and living room downstairs. The usual setup. My husband, now my ex, worked evenings, so most nights it was just me and the kids, Dominic and my daughter, who was about 18 months old at the time. At first, everything seemed normal. Dominic was a typical toddler, always chatting away, full of energy. But then, after a few weeks in the new place, we started noticing something odd. Dominic would sit in his room every morning, talking to someone. We could hear him through the baby gate we had set up in his doorway. My husband and I used to joke about it being his imaginary friend, because that's what parents do when weird stuff starts happening, right? We joke, laugh it off, pretend everything's fine. But this imaginary friend, well, it started feeling a little too real. One morning, I quietly walked up to Dominic's room to peek in. I expected to see him talking to himself, maybe playing with his toys. But what I saw, it made me stop cold. He was sitting on the floor, holding one of his little toys, looking directly in front of him, as if someone was sitting right there with him. And he wasn't just babbling like toddlers do. He was having a full-on conversation. He said, "Look, Papa," and showed off his toy like he was proud of it. Now, here's the thing. Dominic calls my father Papa, but at that age, he called any older man Papa. So I wasn't too freaked out yet. Maybe he was just imagining someone. But seeing him talk so clearly to an empty space, it was unsettling. After that, we started referring to his friend as Dominic's ghost friend, half joking, half serious. It was easier to make light of it than admit something strange might actually be going on. But then things got weirder. One day after Dominic's nap, I went upstairs to get him, and he was already standing at the baby gate waiting for me. As soon as he saw me, he pointed behind me, directly behind me at the top of the stairs, and said, "Look, Mommy, Papa." I swear, Tony, I didn't want to turn around. My heart stopped. I stood there for what felt like an eternity before I finally worked up the nerve to look, and when I did, there was nothing there. Nothing at all. But the way he said it, the way he pointed, it was like he was seeing someone as clear as day. I brushed it off again, because what else could I do? He seemed happy enough, and I didn't want to freak myself out. But I couldn't shake the feeling that something or someone was there, watching. A couple of weeks later, things took a turn I wasn't ready for. It was late, around 9:30 at night. I had put both kids to bed, Dominic in his room and my daughter in hers. Dominic was still awake, as usual, talking to his ghost friend. Like most toddlers, he didn't fall asleep right away. He liked to play a bit, babble to himself, and eventually he'd climb into bed and drift off. That night I could hear him talking from downstairs, his little voice carrying through the house. It was just another typical evening, until it wasn't. Suddenly I heard a scream. Not just any scream, though. This was the kind of scream that makes your blood run cold. It was pure terror. You know how, as a mom, you learn to tell the difference between your kids' cries, whether they're hungry, hurt, or just tired? This was none of those. This was something else. Something I'd never heard from him before. Or since. I bolted up the stairs, my heart racing, and when I got to his room, I found him standing in the middle of it, trembling and sobbing. He was shaking so hard I could barely hold him still. At that age, he slept in just a diaper, so I checked him over, thinking maybe he'd hurt himself, but there wasn't a mark on him. His room was child-proofed within an inch of its life, so there was nothing he could have hurt himself on anyway. I've never seen my son so terrified. He was shaking, clutching onto me like his life depended on it, and I had no idea why. There was nothing in the room, nothing out of place, nothing that could have scared him like that, at least nothing I could see. But something scared him, and whatever it wasn't something normal. That's when I lost it. I was so angry, so scared, that I yelled at Papa, whoever or whatever that was. I stood there in the middle of my son's room, shouting at thin air, telling this unseen presence to leave my son alone, to never bother him again. And then I grabbed Dominic, got my daughter out of her crib, and marched us all downstairs to wait until my husband got home from work. I wasn't spending another minute upstairs with whatever was in that room. We moved Dominic out of his room that night. I figured if that's where he saw the ghost, then maybe moving him down the hall to his sister's room would fix things. And for a little while, it did. He stopped talking to his friend, and there were no more screams in the night. I thought we were in the clear. But as you can probably guess, it didn't last. And after we moved Dominic out of his room, things were calm for a little while. It was almost enough to make me think we'd solved the problem. No more talking to invisible friends, no more screams in the night. We moved him into his sister's room, and everything seemed normal again. I let myself believe that whatever he had been seeing or talking to was just a phase. But of course, that was just wishful thinking. The peace didn't last. It started with the footsteps. At first, I chalked it up to the usual sounds you hear in an apartment, creaks, groans, the occasional bump from a neighbor. But this was different. These footsteps didn't come from the walls shared with other units. They came from upstairs, specifically from my bedroom, and they were deliberate. Every night after my husband left for work, I'd sit downstairs with the kids, and around 9 or 10 o'clock, I'd hear it. Floorboards creaking, someone, something, walking around upstairs. The steps were slow, almost methodical, like someone was pacing, thinking, waiting. The footsteps always started in my bedroom. I'd hear them moving from the door, across the room, around the bed, and then they'd stop, right by my side of the bed. They never went any further, just paced back and forth, back and forth. I tried to convince myself it was my imagination, or maybe just the house settling, but night after night, the pattern was the same. The footsteps only stopped when my husband came home. Until then, they'd repeat over and over again. Just the idea of someone or something standing on my side of the bed waiting for me made my skin crawl. It got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I started sleeping with the TV on as a nightlight just to keep the room from being too dark. My husband hated it, said it was just adding to the electric bill. But I didn't care. The TV light was the only thing that made me feel remotely safe. In the darkness, those footsteps felt too real, like whoever was pacing upstairs could come down at any moment. One day, a few weeks after moving Dominic into his sister's room, I put both kids down for their naps. It was the middle of the day and my husband was home, so I felt a bit braver than usual. I thought I could handle going upstairs. As soon as I got back downstairs, though, I heard something strange. Music. Not just any music, it was one of those cheap, repetitive tunes that comes from a kid's toy. It was coming from the kids' room. Now I knew they didn't have any toys out that could be playing music. So I went upstairs to check, and when I walked into their room, I found the source of the sound. It was a toy that had been stuffed in a bin at the very top of the closet. It had been part of Dominic's Exorcisor, a baby walker he hadn't used in over a year. The toy had these bright plastic buttons that played music when you pressed them, but it had been so long since it was used that I assumed the batteries were dying. That's why it was playing on its own, right? I pulled it out of the bin and pressed the button. Nothing happened. No music, no sound. The batteries were dead. So how was it playing music on its own just a few moments earlier? I shrugged it off, thinking it was one of those weird battery glitches, and threw the toy back into the bin. Problem solved. But when I got back downstairs, the music started. Again, I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Something wasn't right. This toy shouldn't be making any noise, let alone from upstairs when no one was near it. So I marched back up there, grabbed the toy, and brought it downstairs with me, determined to keep it where I could see it. I even pressed the button again, just to be sure. Dead. Not a peep. The rest of the day was quiet. The toy didn't make a sound. I started to think maybe it was just one last glitch from the dying battery. A final hurrah. But that night when we put the kids to bed, the music started again. Almost as soon as Dominic was back in his room, that same toy started playing music. My heart dropped. This time I didn't waste a second. I told my husband to throw the toy in the garbage. I didn't care if it was just a battery issue. I wanted it gone. The next morning, he took it straight to the dumpster, and that was the end of the music. After that, things seemed to quiet down again. But the footsteps, they didn't stop. Almost every night, they would start up, pacing around upstairs while I sat downstairs with the TV casting shadows on the walls. I got used to it in a way. It was just part of living in that house, a haunting, routine reminder that we weren't alone. I tried to find out if anything had ever happened in that apartment. If someone had died there, or if there was any history that could explain what we were experiencing. But I came up with nothing. As far as anyone knew, the apartment complex was built on an old pasture. The only possible link to anything paranormal was the town's history with Native American burial mounds. But even that felt like a stretch. Still, something was in that apartment. I don't know if it was the spirit of a past tenant or something tied to the land, but whatever it wasn't just in my head. We only lived there for a few more months before moving out. Once we left, the footsteps, the strange music, everything stopped. We haven't had any experiences like that since. Dominic never talked about his ghost friend again, and he hasn't had any paranormal experiences since we left that place, but there's something about my son that still unnerves me. He's a sensitive kid, even now at 9 years old. He has this eerie ability to read people, to know if someone has bad intentions just from meeting them. He's always been able to pick up on people's emotions, even when they try to hide it. I don't know if that sensitivity had anything to do with what happened in that apartment, but it makes me wonder if he could see something that the rest of us couldn't. I've asked him a few times if he remembers anything about that apartment, anything about the man he used to talk to. He doesn't. Or at least, he says he doesn't. Part of me is relieved that he doesn't remember, but another part of me wishes I knew what happened that night when he screamed. I don't know if I'll ever get an answer, but I hope one day I'll find something that explains who or what my son was seeing. Thanks for listening, Tony. Well, here's a story that hits you in all the right creepy places, doesn't it? On the surface, it's just a low-income townhouse in a quiet part of Ohio. Nothing remarkable, nothing that screams haunted. But then you start peeling back the layers, and what you find is a little more unsettling. A toddler talking to an invisible friend, a mother hearing footsteps pacing upstairs when no one's home, a toy that refuses to die, even when its batteries have given up the ghost. It's the kind of stuff that makes you wonder what's real and what's just a trick of the mind, doesn't it? And let's start with Dominic, the kid who was at the center of all of this. Toddlers have imaginary friends. That's nothing new. But when the imaginary starts to feel a little too real, that's when things get interesting. He's talking to Papa, a figure that seems familiar but is also strangely anonymous. Sure, he calls all older men Papa, but what are the odds that he's chatting with someone who isn't physically there? And the fact that his mom caught him looking directly in front of him like he was showing off his toy to a real person. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that gets under your skin. So what are we dealing with here? A spirit, a ghost, maybe even an old tenant who never quite left the building? It's easy to dismiss it all as just a child's imagination until the screaming starts. And that scream, pure terror, the kind that makes a parent's blood run cold, tells you something deeper is going on. But what? Was Dominic really seeing someone in his room? And if so, why did it go from friendly chats to gut-wrenching fear in an instant? That's the turning point, isn't it? The moment when this story stops being just an eerie tale of a toddler's invisible friend and turns into something much darker. Dominic was scared of whatever was in that room, so scared that he couldn't explain it, and no amount of child-proofing could keep the terror out. His mom did what any of us would do. She got him out of there fast, but moving him didn't stop the footsteps, did it? That slow, deliberate pacing upstairs, always around her bed, always stopping on her side. It's like whatever it wasn't done with them. Footsteps are one of those classic ghost story tropes, but when you're the one hearing them in your own house, that's a whole different story. It's not the kind of noise you can brush off as pipes creaking or the house settling, because there's a rhythm to it, a purpose. Someone or something was pacing around that room, waiting. And what makes it even creepier? It always stopped when her husband got home, like it didn't want to be seen by anyone else. Then there's that toy, the one tucked away in a closet, dead batteries and all, suddenly playing music. Now, we've all heard about toys going off on their own, but the timing of this one, it's almost too perfect. It wasn't just a glitch. It started playing the moment the kids were in the room, and it kept going, almost like it was taunting the mom. "I'm still here," it seemed to say. And that's what makes this story stick with you. It's not the big, dramatic moments that get you. It's the little things, the footsteps, the music, the feeling that no matter what you do, you're not alone. But here's the thing. What if it's not a ghost? What if it's something else entirely? Sometimes when you're living in a stressful environment, your mind starts to play tricks on you. Add a couple of kids into the mix, a husband who's out most nights, and the isolation of being alone in that house. You could argue that maybe this was just her brain manifesting all that anxiety. But then again, how do you explain Dominic seeing someone, and how do you explain the toy that wouldn't quit? There's also another angle we can't ignore. Kids, especially young ones, are said to be more in tune with things we adults can't see. They haven't been conditioned to block out the strange, the unusual. So when a kid like Dominic starts talking to someone who isn't there, we have to wonder, was he just sensitive to something lingering in that apartment? And if so, what was it? An old tenant? Some energy left over from the land's history? We may never know. But what I do know is that these things have a way of sticking with you, even if you move away, even if the experiences stop, the memory doesn't go anywhere. And then there's Dominic himself, now 9 years old, with this almost eerie sensitivity to people's emotions. He can sense when someone's hiding something or when someone's up to no good. It makes you wonder, was that part of what allowed him to see Papa in the first place? Is he still carrying around that ability even though he doesn't remember what happened? So where do we land on all of this? Was this family haunted by the spirit of someone who died in that house, or was it something older, something tied to the land itself? Or perhaps the scariest question of all, was it something even deeper, something that attached itself to Dominic and his sensitivity? One thing's for sure, this family wasn't alone in that townhouse. They may have left it behind, but whatever was there, it's still out there, waiting for the next family to move in. And that, my friends, is the kind of story that keeps you up at night.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.